The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So I'm like, all right, the call. All right, I'm like, because I'm, you know, afraid of my wife. And I just tried to spin it, which I sold half of it.
I'm here to tell you that we are closing this Granton branch.
I don't understand.
The board voted last night to close your branch.
On whose authority?
I sold it with anger.
I want to hear the spin job.
I'm like,
job.
You kidding me? Waste sucks. You sent me to the wrong place, went downtown, couldn't find it. Oh, and I smashed my windshield.
Are you okay?
Yeah, great. Amazing. Best physical condition of my life.
What did Jan want?
Nothing. Just checking in.
Wait, you tried to bury it? You tried to bury
it?
Well,
what would you do? Yeah, I can't come right. I'm like, if I came right out with it,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been able to talk anymore. So I had to. She knew I was, you know, quite upset.
I can't tell you.
What can't you tell me?
Nothing. Pam, what difference does it make? We'll be gone in a few weeks anyway.
What?
What?
Michael, what's going on?
Listen up, everybody. I have some news. All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
It's over.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it.
It is a football Friday. And on Fridays, we know Jen isn't here. She's always traveling. College game day, big one this weekend. She's heading out to Penn State, heading out to the state of Pennsylvania. Chewy, he's traveling this weekend as well, checking out his son, who's a coach in Nashville, Tennessee State. So he's not here. So we needed a cousin sub of the day. And for the first time all year, we go to the bullpen and we find the Emmy Award winner, the voice of Marquette basketball. Catch him on the Homer Hour from 5 to 6. Green Bay game night. He is Steve the Homer Trill.
The introduction isn't even that long on our show.
I can change that. I can fix that if you want.
No, that's fine. That's
I just
good.
Want to make sure you get properly recognized for all the things you
did. You did a great job. Thank you.
How are you feeling about Jordan Love and this injury? Because I keep going back and forth on it. Like, I was just asked. I was doing TMJ. They asked me about it, and like, I lean towards kind of being what the Packers training staff has typically been, and that's cautious when it comes to a groin injury, especially if it's going to be wet and rainy at Lambeau Field. But also, I mean, I still really want them to win the game, and their best chance is if Jordan Love plays.
Yeah, the best part to me is that they have a better chance, but you have a certain confidence now, or I would on the team, if he doesn't play. I don't see any reason in him playing at all. It makes no sense to me. Because you think you can win the Super Bowl. And the key isn't how healthy he is now. And yes, it hurts because you like to win the division and things like that. But all that is just meaningless to he needs to be healthy into the year. And I don't think he's injury prone as a player. But this year he is. And so I just don't see why you don't rest him and then you got a bye week. It's 3 weeks before he plays again. But if they think he's healthy enough, I don't worry about him being crazy. I don't think he's crazy, and that's what you fear when someone would play. So I'm not really that worried about it because I think the parties involved are smart. I really think, because I want to believe this is true, that LaFleur is doing the greatest scam ever. Like, he got together and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to convince everybody that you're playing.
Well, but we've already been through this with
him. I know,
him,
but
we've done the limited dance,
right,
so we know it could
even
go either
more,
way.
Right, well, but this is even because this is Detroit.
Sure.
And the way you would prepare for both teams, for both quarterbacks, is so different.
Oh, 100%.
And yes, if you're just laughing at the whole thing, like what? What this is astrophysics? No, this is football. We got one guy who you're going to run with, and the other guy you're going to pass with, and so. But if he plays, I just don't see it as, you know, the only fear I have is that he plays and gets hurt even more.
Yes, because that is the fear. Yes,
I'm
that's
okay.
The only fear.
I I want to see, to some degree, what Willis can do against Detroit. That may be stupid, but that's a part of it as well.
Well, the thing with Willis, and I've heard Kyle Wallace, oh, yeah, they're going to win with Willis, yeah! Like,
great Kyle, by the way.
Thank you. I don't want to take away from what he's done.
I'm going to agree with what you're going to say.
But the teams that he's played have all been very bad defenses.
Mm-hmm.
All AFC South teams. And every time he's been out there, they still have had a limited offense. They haven't had the typical Matt LaFleur offense that we see when Jordan Love is out there. And that's evidenced by, I mean, he threw the ball, what, against Indy 13 times?
Mm-hmm.
Threw the ball 5 times. Played basically the entire second half against Jacksonville. He threw it 5 times. Now, granted, he was incredibly efficient with that. Completed 4 passes, including the one that got them into field goal range that won them the game. So I don't want to take away from that because it's incredible what he's done. He has gone from somebody that nobody, literally nobody outside of his own parents thought could play in this league to being a capable backup, to being someone you go, okay, we just have to tweak the game plan a little bit and we can win with this guy. But this is another step up in the competition where Detroit's been so good at stopping the run and so good at forcing turnovers and not turning the football over themselves. Like, this is a step up in competition where you'd have to cut them a little more loose than you have in the previous 3 games.
I find another fascinating part that LaFleur now has to say that he's not that surprised at what Wills, because if he does, then that means he's admitting he stinks.
Yeah.
And clearly, he doesn't think he throws very well for the reasons that you stated. We don't have to invent this because we've seen what he does with somebody else and what he does with him. So, yeah, he doesn't think he's any good.
Well, he just has a different skill set. He's not very good at throwing the football.
If you or I were playing quarterback for the Packers,
yes,
it would be exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean, less throws probably. Yeah,
but
but
know,
very similar game plan.
He's at 5. We'd be at 2. Okay, but the part, I mean, that pass that he made was so good.
Oh, 100%.
And you're so when you've asked him to do those passes, mm-hmm. he's been fantastic.
Yes.
But, this is my fascination is I can't believe what LaFleur says to his friends. This is the greatest coaching I've ever done in my life. I think as an offensive mind, given what he's worked with, I think there's a part of him that believes that, and we'll never know because he can't say it.
And that's the thing that's fascinating to me is, does LaFleur already know? Because the game plan, when you have someone like Malik Willis behind Jordan Love, the game plan has to be so drastically different between the two in order to have success. Does LaFleur already in his mind have an idea who's going to be starting a quarterback? He's just not saying.
Yes, but the team has gone through this before, so it's not like...
Yeah.
If he thinks Jordan Love is playing and then it changes Saturday, the team just goes, okay, we go to plan B.
Mm-hmm.
They've been through this, and so everything you said is true, but it's not a first-time deal. I just can't get beyond. Just Jordan Love has to be healthy at the end of the year.
Oh, 100, yes. Like in... But again, this is where, as a fan, I just get conflicted because winning, I know they've done it before. Granted, it was 14 years ago.
Yeah, they play with winning, Willis, they're probably going to lose.
But yeah, but winning 3 playoff games on the road
to
get to a Super Bowl is incredibly hard. Yes, they did it in 2010. They haven't done it since. Yes, there are teams that have done it before, so it is possible. But it's just, you make life easier on yourself if you can win the division and have those home games.
Right. Yeah.
But
if LaFleur thinks that, then Jordan Love's playing.
But so, but you don't fall that far behind. You know, yes, if you win this game, you lead the division, which is fantastic. But also, if you lose, you're only 2 games behind. And yes, they would have the tiebreakers for now. You have another game against Detroit to eliminate the head-to-head part. Yes, you would probably have to win your remaining 4 division games, but they can do that.
Yeah, so my judgment on that becomes, which risk is worse, the fear of losing and then not winning the division, or the fear of your quarterback getting hurt?
The fear of the quarterback getting hurt.
To me.
Because, yes, if you lose this game, there's still a path to win the division. But
yes,
you're 6-3 going into the bye, and your playoff positioning is pretty solid. Like, you're on pretty solid ground. But if you lose this game and lose Jordan Love,
right,
and now he's out for 4 weeks, your playoff positioning becomes a little more
and
different.
I don't even mean 4 weeks. I think like 2 weeks, or just that he's not 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't even get off the field.
So that's the thing that I don't even know how you test this properly. Because the hit that drove him out of the game.
Correct.
He's got bumped.
I know.
He's got bumped. And then he was in so much pain, he couldn't get off the field. So I don't even know how you test that, because you're not going to have him take any sort of bump or a hit. So even though he's out there doing individual drills yesterday in the rain, which is great, it's a step in the right direction.
Right.
In order to truly test, I don't know how you truly test this.
So he could get bumped again.
Yep. And then he's in so much pain, he's got to take himself
out. Other than we don't know how close he was to that when he played at the beginning of the game.
He did play through it, because it was very obvious. I mean, what was it, the first or second possession, whatever it initially happened. You could tell he was in some discomfort.
Right, but he adjusted pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way anybody could see what happened occurring. Like,
correct,
when he gets hurt, it's going to be because of some insignificant bump. And then, next thing you know, he can't get up. Okay, I've had a horrible hamstring injury.
Yeah.
So, but I have not had a horrible, or I don't have enough groin experience. All I know is it's bad.
But soft tissue, yeah. The thing about groins, and again, I don't even want to say it was a strain or whatever, but there are times where it feels fine, and then you're out there kind of moving around, doing whatever sport you're doing, and then you take one little odd step, and you're, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. And it just, groins and hamstrings can be tricky.
But you can you could still walk.
Yeah, 100%.
So he
could not.
Right. So what's really going on? We just don't know, and that's the part. I don't know how anybody could think other than that, given what they saw, that could easily happen again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like anytime.
Like, he's not going to go. We need you to play, but never get bumped.
If he plays,
yeah.
Anytime somebody gets near him, I'm going to be holding my breath.
Yes.
Because of the nature of what happened on Sunday.
I mean, and those are the questions we don't get answered. Jordan, okay, explain to us how you get bumped. Bumped. Like you're walking into the place.
Yeah.
And you run and just bump an official. And how many, whatever time later, you can't walk. There's no way anybody can understand that.
I don't think he understands it. I don't think he could explain it. You know, bumped and...
Yeah, but what was hurting? I mean, you can be pretty specific.
Yeah.
If you were talking to Finn, this shocked me. Or when they don't say anything, and they never say anything, but you feel like he can't tell us how bad he might have been entering the game. So, like, he could say, I really wasn't that surprised because I was... You know, it was every play I wondered if something could happen. Now, could it happen that bad? Then why were you playing? So we're not going there. But I haven't heard any good explanation of how
you're never
he got
gonna hear one.
Hurt that bad on that play. Like when it happened, you're going, okay, yeah, like he's back in, and then, whoa, this doesn't look good. No, this looks even worse than that.
Yeah.
Like I almost wonder that it could have happened if he hadn't even been touched, if he had just stepped a certain way.
And that's, again, I think that's how it happened earlier in the game. He kind of torqued his lower body to make a throw on the run. You could see something kind of look down. He was kind of looking at it and grabbing at it. And just for whatever reason, the way he got bumped, I don't know if he did, because he got bumped, then he landed on the leg a different way, and that just aggravated I don't know.
I mean, I've had people, and I'm sure you've had, that said they never should have brought him back as soon as they did, and I just say, you're wrong. I just don't think that, but my argument isn't as good now that he gets, but I still would have played him, but it's an argument everybody has because we all don't know specifically what it was or how bad it was.
And we talked about this a little bit when he went through the knee injury with Chewy. Like, being cleared, like, the player still has a say in that process, right? Like, Doc McKenzie will tell you the medical stuff, and sometimes it's, okay, can I play through this pain? Can I not play through this pain? And I think it gets a little trickier when it comes to groin injuries, because it's, not necessarily always there. The pain isn't always necessarily there. And if Doc McKenzie, this is an easy decision if Doc McKenzie comes and says, hey, there's a significant risk. This gets worse if you play. Then he's not playing. And I think everybody agrees, okay, then you're not playing. It's kind of in this gray area of, it almost feels like it's almost up to Jordan of, hey, do you think you can go? And if he says he can go, well, you have to trust the player in that situation.
I think it depends on the player.
Yeah, 100%.
But there's just nothing about him that, now people have said some of his passes are reckless, and I thought, you got to go back and watch Favre. I just don't think he's that reckless on the way he plays the game. And I don't think he'd be the same. I mean, the concern is that everybody knows in his situation, you want to play. It's the Lions. It's at home. You know, can I give it a shot and play the first series? You're not a competitor if you don't really want to play.
Oh, I think that's on the table.
Right. So
of him
I'm
playing
saying,
early I think, and being like, no, I can't do it.
I think every player in this particular situation, anybody's competing, wants to play.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
I feel like this, again, because it's such a gray area, like you would get tipped off previously when they elevated in the two games that he missed, when they elevated Clifford off of the practice squad. I think they could do that on Saturday again, but that's not going to be an indication of anything for what you just said. I think there's a possibility he goes, hey, I'm going to give it a go. If I feel any sort of discomfort in that first series or two, then I can't go. Then I think that's a possibility. I think literally everything's on the table. We'll see what Jason Wilde has to say about this as well. We dive into that and talk with Jason Wilde next with Homer in as our cousin sub on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde, joins the show three times a week. Good morning, Jason.
This is quite the variation on a dude Friday, I gotta say.
Now, Homer's a dude, though. Homer, our cousin sub of the day. You're a dude, right?
No. Whatever you are, Homer. When you're old.
No, you're a
old
dude.
Old codger. No,
can we pull that? Is Homer a dude?
I'm absolutely pulling that, yeah.
I'm embarrassed for people to vote yes.
What if the audience says you are a dude?
Fine. They can say I'm Chinese. That doesn't make me Chinese. I'm not a dude. I was with a dude last night, the guy who plays Hercules. Did you ever watch that show? Serbo, is that his name?
Yeah, so Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, God.
Oddly enough, Kevin Sorbo, his nephew is a very good friend of mine. Grew up with him.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to have a sign.
He's from the Twin Cities. I mean, he's from right outside the Twin Cities.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's now my financial. So Craig has been on this show before. Craig is my friend who has the Paintings for Pediatrics nonprofit, has done some matching stuff that we've done for the Mac Fund. But that's neither here nor there. Nobody cares about the Sorbo family.
I can be in one of his movies.
All right. If you're in a movie, then you're a dude.
Okay, but it costs too much, so I decided
you had
not
to pay to get into the movie.
That's correct. You had to donate to the charity.
Pay to be in the movie?
Well, it was for a charity that if you at the live auction item, two spots in a movie, which you can't speak. So, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming you're not paying for the lines.
Just in the movie, but you had to bid a certain amount of money.
Jason.
What, Jason? I didn't hear what Jason
said. I don't think anyone's going to see it either.
No, you would see it.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you were in a movie, yes, I would go see it.
No. I mean,
I would agree.
Oh, you meant go see the movie. I thought whether you'd see me actually in the movie.
Yeah.
You're like, he was in the movie. He was behind a tree.
Yeah.
You could see a portion of his foot. Anyway, but go ahead. He's a dude.
Jordan Love yesterday was limited in practice, and now we're doing the limited dance. Do you think him practicing yesterday makes it more likely, less likely that he ends up playing on Sunday?
I think it makes it more likely, especially considering it was raining, cats and dogs. You know, there's a chance the weather is going to be like that on Sunday afternoon against the Lions. And the fact that not only did they stay out there, but that he continued to practice. Now, again, I don't know what he did during the team periods. That's where we start playing the clandestine game. But, you know, if you saw, I know a few of my colleagues posted video on social media of him going through some drills, and it was raining hard.
Oh, yeah. Big fat raindrops I saw in the Nemovsky video.
So, you know, if you're uber concerned about his groin injury, you don't have him out there during that. So I thought that was a pretty clear sign that they're at least hopeful that he's going to be able to do this. Now, again, you know, we heard from Adam Schefter on your show early in the week that it was realistic. They chose not to practice him on Wednesday, which I thought wasn't necessarily a sign he wasn't going to play. I thought it was, hey, let's give him one more full day of healing and treatment. Thursday's really the most important practice anyway. This also allows us to get Malik some first-team work for an entire practice. Again, not knowing what happened yesterday in first-team drills. But that made sense to me, and I did not see that as a harbinger of him not playing. Now, you know, we'll see where he's at today. But I thought the fact that he went through yesterday, whatever he did, clearly increased the possibility of him playing, yes.
The issue I guess I have, Jason, is the way in which he was injured with just a little bump. Like, as you're going through, even if you're, you know, full go in practice, like practice, I think you can protect it to a certain extent. My concern is if that little bump can cause a chain reaction that causes him to be in so much pain he can't make it to the sideline,
right?
How do I know that the groin is actually good to go for the game?
Yeah, that's the, you're 1,000% right. That's the concern. Because, look, the one thing you don't want is kind of an Evan Williams situation where a guy goes into the game with something wrong with a soft tissue related injury, right? In Evan Williams' case, Matt LaFleur told us that he was having issues with his hamstring before the game. He decided to give it a go, and then he wasn't able to. He was out after like what, 4 or 5 series. The last thing you want is for Love to start, and then, like you said, he injures it on that opening drive where he's making that third down throw, and then you see him hobbling. And then he's dealing with it all first half, hobbling around. He makes that long completion, the 67-yarder. I mean, it was a catch and run, but you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
to Tucker Kraft, and he's hobbling again. And then the moment that causes it to hurt to such a degree that he cannot make it all the way to the sideline is like he moves. It's not a grand, you know, flamboyant movement in the pocket. It's a subtle movement in the pocket. And then is it Warren that comes by and bumps him?
Yeah.
After the play, like the fact that caused him that much pain that he knew he had to come out right. Right away, he waves for Malik Willis. And then he's in enough pain that he tries to get to the sideline and can't get there. Again, that was Sunday. Today is Friday. I get it. But that would be the sign to me that this is, even if it's mild compared to, say, Jair's groin injury, which cost him 2 games, that would be the thing that makes me leery about having him start, having him out there. I mean, I keep thinking back to that throw he makes in Brazil on that slippery field, and he goes to plant his back foot and it goes out from under him.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If the field is in that condition on Sunday and you already have a pre-existing groin injury, that would make me nervous. And again, maybe it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I can picture, you know, obviously it's his left groin, so it's his stepping into the ball, the throw, not planting in the back on the back foot. But the bottom line is slippery conditions don't seem to me to be a good scenario for a guy with a groin injury. But he practiced yesterday in the pouring rain. So, quite frankly, what the hell do I know?
Jason, is there any possibility that he was just hurt way more than anybody has said going into the game, and that this was the result of just kind of a weird thing? Or has anybody said for sure how injured he was or what the situation was when that game started?
Yeah, as I understand it, he did not have a groin injury until he injured it on that opening possession on the third down pass. Now, is there some correlation between left knee injury, left groin injury, and him changing, you know, his throwing style, his running style, his gait, whatever it might be? We asked Jordan that, and he did not dismiss it. He didn't say that he thought it was related, but he also couldn't rule out the possibility that it was related. So I don't know enough, and they love to play. And look, let me be clear. I don't blame them on this one. Like, you know, it's one thing you got a knee injury, you know, just, you know, you don't have to try to trick us. But this injury and the stakes of the game and forcing the Lions to prepare for two different types of quarterbacks, obviously two guys that can do different things in their skill set, I understand that. I just am curious. This is the issue for me this entire time is risk management. Like, are you too or appropriately all in to beat the Lions that you're going to risk him damaging his groin further, and then you come back from the bye week with eight games to go and he's either not able to play against the Bears on the 17th or he's hobbled even more than he is now, as opposed to he doesn't play this game, got a full bye week to get treatment and not play. He's got the week leading up to the Bears game. It means he will have had 3 weeks between the injury and the next time he played for it to heal. Again, they don't appear to feel like it's severe enough that he needs that time to just be fully concentrating on healing. So that gives him the chance to play on Sunday.
Jason, outside of Jordan Love, I know on Wednesday when we talked yesterday that the injury list was long. Not as long for guys who missed practice yesterday, but still some significant names on that injury report. Who's in most danger outside of Love of not playing on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't feel super confident about Jair. Again, we'll see if he does something today. But he is, you know, he's been kind of a guy that if he has an injury that is going to render him far less effective, they play it safe with him, right? Like so I don't know how severe this knee is. I've seen him in the locker room each of the 2 days. We did not talk, so I'm hoping that he will A, practice, and B, be able to articulate how he feels today. But I am dubious on him. The one that's really interesting and that we spent a lot of time talking about yesterday, both with LaFleur and with this guy himself, is Josh Myers. So during the Arizona game, he suffered a stinger to his right shoulder / neck. And then last week, or 2 weeks ago, he injured his wrist. And he played the Jacksonville game with the wrist injury. It's his left wrist, so it's not his snapping hand. But yesterday, we were all talking to him, and he could not use his left hand to put on his socks and shoes. Now, I know the old dude probably, I don't know what Homer's wearing these days for shoes, probably those, you know, old codger slip-on shoes.
No, I got some really sweet stuff from Temu. Fantastic. $8. Sweet. People mention how nice they are, cool they are when I play golf wearing them.
I didn't know Tom Homer shopped at Temu.
We gotta save it. It's a whole discussion. We gotta save it for later because there's gotta be something to it.
Well, no, it makes no it, it No, there's nothing to it.
They have incredible deals.
Yes, incredible deals.
I got this shirt, this T-shirt that I have on.
Yep.
Five of them for $8.
But, Homer, you would agree that everyone believes that it's a fake website until you actually pay money for something.
I don't know what that means, and I don't care.
It is such a good fit that they shouldn't call it Temu. They should call it Homer.
Maybe.
Like, that's how perfect
they did two ads
is.
On the Super Bowl, correct?
Yes.
All right, correct. I rest my case.
Yeah. No, I
whatever
mean,
they are. I don't know what they are.
Temu
it could
and
be
Homer.
A bunch of raccoons living in Wyoming that put this together. I don't care.
Yeah.
What I get is great, and these shoes are spectacular. Yeah.
Temu and Homer is a match made in heaven.
We consider this an air check.
Sorry. Sorry to get off track. Back to you, Jason.
No, I hope you guys spend some more time on this later the show, because you could be mining for gold here. But to finish the thought on Josh Myers, who I can't confirm or deny shops on Temu, I know he had regular shoes on, and I don't know if you've ever tried to put on a sock without using both hands, but he could, I mean, it was a struggle. And while it's good news that it's not a snapping hand, because if it was a snapping hand, I don't think he'd be playing. He's going to have to wear some sort of cast or a club. I just don't see him being able to use that left hand. And if he doesn't play, it would be his first missed start in 45 games. And they would have to juggle the line. They would move Elgton Jenkins to center. They would play Jordan Morgan at right guard. They would play Sean Ryan at left guard, and then they'd go that route. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to do anything today, because Steno did say he has to show that he can play with it, basically. So we'll see if they put a cast on him or what they exactly do, because he was in pain and non-functioning with his left hand yesterday.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to more Packers talk coming from you on Wildy and Tausch starting at 9 a.m.
Yeah, you know, I have to be on in Beaver Dam next, which is unfortunate because I'd really love to hear this Temu conversation. So I look forward to checking that out on Wisconsin On Demand.
Appreciate it, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the least shocking revelation. That Homer uses Temu.
I think Homer's the first person. We gotta go to break, but I think you're the first person I know that actually spent real American dollars on Temu.
Yeah, and lots of it.
We'll get into
in
the Homer's
small amounts.
Oh, of course. That's
the rule one is, I'll help you out here. Is you never use a credit card. I use PayPal. I mean, people tell you the proper way to make sure that there aren't problems because of Temu. I think I've taken care of that appropriately.
We'll have Homer's Temu tips coming later, but we do have Craig Karmazin coming up next.
Yeah, that's bigger than Temu.
On Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, Friday.
Always love catching up with Good Comer Brands founder, CEO, Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Wow, the Gabe and Homer combo. It's I feel like it's taking it back old school.
Oh, yeah. Would you consider Homer a dude?
Sure.
Okay.
That was a no. That's okay. Thanks.
No, I'm not a dude. It was more that I don't think I'm qualified, because I don't know what makes someone a dude or not a dude. So I would think he identifies as a male. So that's why I went with yes.
Yeah, I mean, because we've kind of affectionately called Fridays Dude Fridays. When Jen's gone, it's usually me, Chewy, and then we have Jason on as part of Dude Fridays. And I just, you know, Jason thought it was a different variation of Dude Fridays. Homer didn't think he was a dude, so here we are.
All right.
There are plenty of Packers stuff to talk about, Craig, but should I be concerned about the Milwaukee Bucks? Because I keep telling myself I shouldn't be.
Should you be concerned? How many games do they have to get crushed before you're concerned?
Well, but I mean, it's five games in. You know,
you got eyes.
That's what I was going to ask Homer, because I don't know if I should be concerned.
Yes, you should be concerned. It's a mess. This year's going to be a mess, unless Middleton's the most important player in the history of the NBA. This is epic.
So we can't look at it as like this is like an NBA season and or an NFL season, and they're just 0-1. Like this is
no, you
like
can't because they made changes.
17th of the way.
I mean, you can go that way if you want. They put stuff together to win this year. And granted, it's going to depend on nothing matters now. It's what they're going to do at the end of the year. But how good can you be when you can be this bad?
We know exactly what you said, right? It's going to be about how the team plays at the end of the year. We know that Chris is going to be an important part of that. But, I mean, I think we're all seeing. And by the way, if the Bucks had beaten the Bulls and the Nets, and lost the way they did in the other two games against the Celtics and the Grizzlies, I think then we'd be saying, like, we're not feeling great, but, like, they're like it's fine. They're 3-2. They're kind of where they are. But the fact that they lost, you know, both to the better teams, the road teams, the home teams, the worst teams, I mean, there's not a great spin other than there's no Chris and it's early.
Yeah, because, I mean, you were leading in Boston at the half, right? Played a terrible third quarter, bad fourth quarter, whatever. I can explain that. But last night is what made me a little bit more concerned. You're trailing by, what was it, 22 at the half?
And I mean, they've had games like that at Memphis when they're playing well. Like, that happens in the NBA. But, you know, when you've lost the games you've lost, then I think there's an expectation that you're not going to have one of those types of games. So I think that is, it's harder to explain when you're coming off the back-to-back-to-back losses that they were coming off of.
Does anybody on the panel have an explanation as to what's happening?
Yeah. They all know this part of the season doesn't matter at all. Nothing. It's about the playoffs. It's about the end of the year. My only concern is if inside the Bucks are worried, and I'm certain they're not. Not the slightest bit. This is just the preseason.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I think the ultimate explanation is they're 0-1. It's an NFL team. They just went down to Tampa and got shellacked by the Buccaneers. You know, I know Chewy's not here, so I don't have to explain it all in football terms. But they just went down to Tampa and got shellacked by the Buccaneers or the Saints on opening day. And and now they get to play Saturday against an undefeated team, you know, in Fiserv Forum, and we'll see how they respond.
Talking with Good Karma Brands founder CEO Craig Karmazin. He joins us every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jordan Love, do you think he plays on Friday? Or excuse me, do you think he plays on Sunday?
Wait, real quick, by the way.
Yeah.
When I say we'll see how they respond, like, I feel like I should be saying they respond. I've had some people say, like, well, why don't you say we with the Bucks?
You should say we. Like, you are one of the people.
If I said we, don't you think that would be like, like, oh yeah, what are you like, Torian Prince? All of a sudden, like,
well,
I
no,
mean,
but you
I don't think I
a financial stake in the team.
Yeah, you I have mean, a financial stake. You, I mean, you're more of a we than literally anybody else I know. Like me as a fan, Craig. Like, I will probably say we when it comes to the teams that you know. I don't own any sort of interest in the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm just a fan. I just love them. I think if anybody has a right to say we, it's the person who's put a financial stake in
no,
the team.
No, you should say we.
Yes.
Yeah, but then would you feel like I'm, like, speaking for the team?
To
I'm
some
like,
degree, everybody yeah, thinks that anyway.
Yeah, right, but I'm not, like, authorized to do that. So, like, when I'm speaking for
oh,
me.
Oh, I
so
like that. We should have unauthorized we.
The unauthorized we?
Yeah.
Well, because here's the real question. Here's how we settle if you should say we or not, Craig. When the Bucks won a championship in 2021, did you get a championship ring?
Yes.
Then you're a we.
Did you say we win the title? We won. Did you say that?
No, like because I didn't feel like.
Why not? I feel like you're wasting space.
No, I know, but like I feel like that's you know like good karma is we. I don't know that I feel like I deserve credit or like have anything to do with anything that like you know is going to make the difference between wins and losses for the Bucks.
But still, you have a financial stake in the team. You got a championship ring. That's a we. That's a we, okay. Man. You're a part of the organization.
Okay. I'll start going with we off the air and see how it feels
okay.
Before I potentially bring the we on the air.
All right. I like that. That's a good compromise.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to argue with a we.
I mean, you're the one who coined the term Mo. For Craig.
That's correct.
The minority
if
owner.
He said he doesn't want to be called Mo anymore. I'm not calling him Mo anymore. I don't argue with the Mo's, and I don't argue with Wee's.
So, Jordan Love, I do think if it were me, I would not have him playing based on just the way he looked. You know, the thing that is amazing to me is Goody's getting all this credit for the Malik Willis acquisition. And it's kind of fair, and I see why, but I really think they brought in Malik Willis thinking that he was a developmental quarterback.
100%.
I don't think they thought he could that he was developed to the point where he could come in today and win them 3-4 games in the season, which is why I think Matt LaFleur just deserves so much credit, and Malik Willis deserves so much credit for how he's actually played. And I think we saw it. I heard Chris Canty say it this morning. Like, we saw Jordan Love go into Dallas, go into a tough environment and play a virtual perfect game. So it's not like this team, like, has to have every playoff game at home. It's not like they have to win the division. I think we want to make sure Jordan Love's healthy and can throw, make all the throws that he makes, because it seems like he's going to try to make his throws regardless. And if he's not 100%, some of those maybe end up in extra picks. And I would just rather have him healthy, and I think this week is way more to me about the defense anyway. It's like, okay, you've been great at taking the ball away against all these pretty weak defenses, weak offenses outside of the Eagles. How is this defense actually going to stand up to a beast, elite offense this week? So I don't even know how much it matters what the offense does this week. To me, this week is all about the Packers' defense.
I think that's fair. Before we let you go, Craig, a couple things I do want to ask for on a personal level for you. How did your half marathon go last week?
I completed it. The best thing was, you know, and I'd never done a half marathon, and so I ran it a little faster than I thought I was going to run it because there's that adrenaline of being around people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, miles 10 through 13, I'm sure I was going the same speed that I was going the first 9 miles, but all of a sudden, like, dudes who look like Homer were, like, racing past me. Like, I was, like, going still. Like, 70-year-old dudes were just, like, flying past me. And so
anybody pulling or pushing a kid?
No.
In a stroller-like,
like,
thing?
I swear they were, like, I actually did pass the people who were pushing a kid and walk and running with their dog. So no one passed me who was doing that. But I think there were people, like, you know, with walkers who were going past me in the final 2 miles. But I made it, and they did a great job as in Shorewood, and they did a wonderful job.
Are you going to a marathon next?
I don't think so. Like, is it just because I didn't train for the half marathon, and I feel like I would have to train for a marathon. And I like doing enough other workouts, and I just the time commitment of the marathon just doesn't do it for me.
And finally, Craig, have you ever bought anything on Temu?
No. My daughter was on a big Temu kick where she wanted to buy everything. And I just felt like, morally and ethically, I just, like, couldn't do it. I felt like it's the kind of, like, thing that, like, Homer would probably do, but I just couldn't do it.
Homer, what ethically and whatever, morally and whatever is because of what?
When as it burst on the scene and as I was reading about it and, like, the, you know, just how they were, like at the prices they were selling and how they were sourcing and what they were doing with their labor in China. Like, I nothing about it felt like something that felt right to do. Like, I don't know. It's not, I'm not judging you, Homer, but
kind of felt
clearly,
not. Kind of felt
clearly
like you might have been.
I'd like to know what you'd say if you were judging me.
No, I mean, and I was joking because I knew you had done it. That's why I said it feels like something Homer would do.
No, I've read the stuff too. I don't.
Yeah. And so, like, for me, it just didn't feel like, you know, like if she could get the bracelet for $3 there or she could get it for, you know, $6 somewhere else. I just felt like, I don't know. It just something about it just didn't hit me right. So I have not gotten Temu, and we kind of made a decision when, you know, because they were like every Google ad, like they were like Google's biggest spender, and they were dominating every social media feed for a while, and so it was hard to get away from them, and we just decided to stay away. What do you buy from Temu, Homer?
The shirt I have on, the shoes I'm wearing,
headphones.
Headphones that I have. Headphones, yes, three of the things I have. But it's very, you know, it's I've discovered they've now gone to other warehouses. I thought everything was cheaper there. Then I found out something was cheaper on Amazon and stuff like that. So, yeah, to me, it's like $15. All right. The maximum that I pay for a bill is $15. Maybe I get 10 things. They have stuff for under a dollar. I love to take advantage of those. 10 things each are under a dollar. And so I feel like it's like going out to eat. You know, I'm not going out to a fancy restaurant. I'm going to McDonald's. So I got a bad meal at McDonald's, throw the stuff away, and try again. Some things have worked, some haven't. I'm now hooked on smartphones. They have them for like $9.
So smartwatches.
Smartwatches.
Oh, I was going to say, wait, so you buy smartwatches from Temu for $9?
Yeah, I probably got 9 to 10. I probably have like about 5 of them. I'm trying to figure out how to get my grandson where you could, you know, they're going to be garbage to some degree, but there might be a few things that you can use on them, like phone or the internet or stuff like that.
Do you treat them like a Kodak, like disposable camera then?
Yeah, well, everything I get at Temu is disposable.
All right. objection sustained. All right.
Because I would assume 60% of it isn't going to work or... Like I said,
and
I told
mind,
Gabe, the key to Temu is pens. You can get like 1,000 pens for $2.
That's actually a hot tip. I think I'm going to go actually buy some.
But you can get a lot of pens for cheap now at Target and stuff like that. Clearly, they're all being made somewhere for nothing.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know why you need so many pens, but if you need mass quantities of pens, I would think Temu is not the only place.
Right,
now,
Costco.
Do you look at it as like, hey, I'm not like forcing them to employ the like 8-year-olds and force them into labor, I'm keeping the 8-year-old employed, and like that's better for their family.
I don't give that any thought at all.
Okay.
I don't know how. I think people, everybody, you're buying shoes from Vietnam. I don't know how you judge what. I can't do it, so I just don't make that decision. What's everybody being made that makes shoes? What's everybody being made that makes everything? I don't. Do we know? What are they paying Vietnam?
Right.
What are they paying?
Are the cows being treated better?
Right.
Are the chickens being treated better? It's hard. I agree. It's very hard. But sometimes you have to like just maybe you're able to just put it out of your head. With Temu, for some reason, I just couldn't.
Okay.
Like
The
prices were just so low. I was just like, they're not. There's something they're doing wrong that I just don't want to be a part of.
It's probably true. I'll accept that.
This is also the man that just openly just wants to fly Spirit and understands that, you know, Spirit.
Hey, hold on. Spirit isn't even near the low end now. Spirit has changed dramatically, and this is the new Spirit. It's not the old Spirit.
Oh.
Spirit, you need to reconsider.
Okay. All right. Good to know. We'll get more.
I decided I would never get on a Spirit plane again about 11 years ago.
Okay.
You're telling me I should reconsider that?
Yes, definitely.
Don't.
Wow.
We'll give more Homer and how to save money tips. Go ahead.
By the way, it was when, I believe it was when the passenger next to me was actually just like a crated chicken that I decided I like maybe didn't want to be on Spirit anymore.
I will admit, back then, I'm not sure the seats were big enough for a crated chicken. They were for cats. So, but anyway.
All right. On that note, Craig, we appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, dude.
Craig Carmson joins us every Friday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. Best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. It's where I got my wife's ring. It's where I got our wedding bands, the whole nine yards. But maybe you're somebody who doesn't know what you're looking for. Well, the helpful team that they put together at the Jewelry Center always going to be able to help you out. Maybe, you know, she's got something on that Pinterest board. Check that out. Bring some of those ideas in, and the Jewelry Center is going to be able to help you out. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out the inventory at any one of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop the Jewelry Center online. Shop TJC.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Coming up this weekend, that means your freezer should be stocked with Palermo's pizza. Because with Palermo's, they've been doing this for 60 years right here in Wisconsin, they know premium quality frozen pizza. It's why they have so many different brands under the Palermo's umbrella. Think about all these brands that are in the Palermo's family. Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, and then think of all the different Screamin' Sicilians that exist out there. They have a crust, a sauce, toppings that are going to fit your appetite. So keep an eye out for Palermo's in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business. We have any more Temu tips you want to give people, Homer?
I apologize. My shoes are Temu. My shorts are Temu.
Oh, the shorts. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. My socks might be, but I don't think so. I think I got those on a deal. And the only thing that is not from Temu is my very nice. What is this, a hoodie from Marquette?
Marquette zip-up hoodie.
Baby, I love this. This is fantastic. They got upset because I was wearing red. I didn't know you couldn't wear red. I mean, granted, when you're playing Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So they gave me this hoodie, and I wore it on every road trip. It's sweet, warm, and pockets. Key to life is pockets. Two sets of pockets on
one side. Oh, there's two sets of pockets?
Yes, all jackets should be this way.
There's too many pockets in life sometimes, though. I think you need two. You can't have two sets of pockets.
No, actually, I'm wrong. No, it's only two on one side. So you can put your phone in that, and then you still have pockets to put your hand in.
Are any of them zipper pockets?
Only one is a zipper.
I got a thing about zipper pockets.
I agree. That's why this is.
You and me,
three
Homer,
pockets,
the same.
One zipper.
One zipper. Key to life is pockets.
Well, no, you're right. You don't want too many zipper pockets. But you have like 100 things now. You got keys, you got phone, you got your billfold. Anyway.
A what?
It's been a long-standing thing. Homer calls the wallet the billfold.
Huh.
Right. Wallet? I'll go with wallet. That's
fine. No, I like billfold. It makes me sound better. I'm going with that.
Put it on the poll. Is the key to life pockets?
Yeah,
please put that on the poll?
Absolutely.
Well, that's the thing.
What
do
are
you
my
still
options?
Have,
too many pockets or not
do,
enough
do
pockets?
Do you still have your CFL jacket?
Like Canada?
So Homer had, for the longest time, he had
Ottawa Rough Riders?
Yeah, I think it was something like that. It was a CFL.
I either have it or my wife made me throw it away. I can't, but I would still have it if I could.
But it was like a sideline jacket. It was a little bit longer, but Homer loved it, A, because it was warm, and B, because the deep pockets in the jacket.
Yeah.
It seems like the hoodies replaced that.
You couldn't fit a computer in there, but a laptop, but
maybe
it's close.
Maybe a tablet?
Yeah, easily. Tablet, no problem.
So
you never lose anything.
Yeah, it's fantastic. These are the things you learn about Homer, Ashton, when he's our cousin sub of the day.
Every time Homer's here for the rest of time, I want to be the producer. I got to learn. Yeah. I feel better about myself.
Just got to learn more.
You've been wanting to say that pocket thing for how long?
Honestly, it's a long time. Yeah. And also, I might actually buy something from Temu today. You are convincing me. The pen thing is a great idea. I run out of pens all the time.
We'll see if Homer has more Temu tips, plus we get ready for the football weekend in 2 minutes. Jen, give it to you.